today's passage is Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 15. Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 15. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the name they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they're sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Now, the pastor Yamaguchi-sensei gives us a sermon. Let's welcome him with a big hand. Good morning. I'm very happy and grateful to be able to worship with all of you this morning. My name is Yuzuru Yamaguchi. I am serving right now at Shimokitazawa Bible Church in Setagaya, Tokyo. And I will be serving there until the end of this month. But from April 1st, I will serve at a church in Bangkok, in Thailand. But this work will be my third time to serve in Thailand. I've been asked by many people, how much do you like Thailand? Because I've been there so many times. Let me share a little story with you since I'm here at Jura Megumi Church. About 40 years ago, our denomination was planning to send a missionary to Indonesia or Thailand. So it was assumed by many people that I would go to Indonesia. And in fact, I visited Indonesia for about 10 days to learn about the country before I actually was assigned there. I talked to local people, and at that time, I stayed up all night, one night, with a Japanese missionary in Indonesia and discussed overseas mission. But this Japanese missionary was very patient with me, probably because he expected that I would come to Indonesia as a missionary too. And yet, in spite of all of that, I ended up going to Thailand instead of Indonesia for my mission work. So in spite of the Japanese missionaries in Indonesia's kindness and patience, I became a missionary to Thailand. Such things do happen. The Lord work in mysterious ways sometimes. So right before I went to Indonesia for 10 days, and I actually went to Thailand for 2 weeks as a summer worker, and the local people asked me this question. I asked this question in both Thailand and Indonesia. What's the biggest challenge that you have? In Indonesia, it was challenge was to live as Christian among Muslims. And that makes sense because the majority of people in Indonesia are Muslims. And everybody said that. And I asked the same question in Thailand. In Thailand, there are very, very few people who could teach us about the Bible. And a lot of people gave me the same answer, because there are very, very few missionaries in Thailand. And in some churches in Thailand, because there is a lack of pastors, you know, very few opportunities to hear from pastors. So I was thinking about what I'm supposed to do, you know, whether to go to Indonesia and to you know, whether to work in Thailand or in Indonesia. So, but eventually I decided to go to Thailand. 40 years have passed since then. It has been exactly 40 years this year. I am trying my best to follow the Lord's will to serve in Thailand for the third time. The Japanese missionary in Indonesia I told you about is actually Pastor Seno, and who still supports me warmly. My first service in Thailand lasted for 14 years, from 1985, mainly in Thai language churches, with a secondary service in Japanese language church. During that time, members of Chichura Megumi Church have gave me incredible support, not only in prayer, but also financially. And some of you served as a volunteer in my church in Thailand. As a result, a church called Mahapon Sangsun Church was established. In English, the name of this church means the Great Blessing and Praise Church. It is a small church with only a handful of members, but the name Great Blessing and Praise Church is very bold. You may wonder what kind of church this is. This church is located in a small slum in a corner of Bangkok. Most streets in Bangkok have names, and the authorities put up signs with the names on them. One day, a new sign was put up on the street that serves as the entrance to the slum. The sign read, Soiloso. Soiloso. Soy means alley. But I did not understand the word loso. I took out my Thai dictionary and could not find the word loso anywhere. So I asked a young man at the church, I saw loso in the new signboard. What does it mean? And then he looked a little uncomfortable and said, that's not Thai. It's English. I realized what he said. Loso on the signboard is the opposite of haiso. The haiso means high society or upper class. I don't know if there is an English word, but loso means low society. So they named the street Low Society. I could not believe the local government called the street the low society street or alley. So it is a small slum, and it is an area discriminated against by society. And when this church was established, we named it Mahapon Sangsun Church, Great Blessing Praise Church. It is a bold name for a church in such a area that is discriminated against. And it shows their spirit. It has been 35 years since the establishment of the church. And there is a young man who, through the prayers of the church and a scholarship, graduated from a university and became a Japanese teacher at Thammasat National University, a well-known university. There is also a young man who became a kindergarten teacher and is now involved in early childhood education. Another works as an accountant in a company. And there is a woman who is a pastor's wife of a small church in Chiang Mai, northern Thailand. So many people from my church succeeded and trusted by society now. So many people who were received and their faith in God through our church now are active members of Thai society. I believe that this accomplishment is partially a result of Lord's answer to the service of those who visited us with their backpacks on their backs, and also as a result of your prayers. When you visited us, you became friends with local people and blended into church members. You know, the work you did for our church was not something that received lots of attention, but that was very, very important. Therefore, church members in this church in Bangkok do not feel that they were helped by the Japanese or that they were able to do it because of the help from foreigners. Local church members are proud of their faith and proud of the fact that Jesus had done so much for them. It is a small church in a small slum, but as the name implies, it is a flock that truly praises God for his great blessings. And thank you again for your help. And I think all of us can be proud that we were able to serve Christ through this church in Thailand. So please come visit me sometime again in Thailand. By the way, there are many Japanese people in Bangkok. According to a survey by the Japanese Ministry of Foreign Affairs, there are currently over 50,000 Japanese people living in Bangkok. This may be due to the economic situation in Japan, but the number has decreased by about 10,000 in the last 2 years. Nevertheless, the number of Japanese living abroad in Bangkok is still the second the largest, only after Los Angeles, the United States. There are many Japanese people living in Thailand, including those sent by companies and other organizations, those who came to Thailand on their own to seek local employment, students, those who came to Thailand by marriage, and many other circumstances. The population of Japanese people in Bangkok is almost the same as that of Tsukuba Mirai City. And I found that there are three or four churches in Tsukuba Mirai City. So it would not be surprising then if there was a need for a Japanese church in Bangkok, where more than 50,000 Japanese people live. And many of the Japanese people are fluent in English, and many of them are fluent in Thai, but it is the Japanese language that reaches their hearts. It is interesting to visit Japanese people's houses in Thailand. You know, in Japan, there are four clear seasons: spring, summer, autumn, and winter. However, Bangkok has only three seasons: hot, hotter, and hottest. Those are the three seasons in Bangkok. Recently, Japanese summers have become hotter, but Bangkok is hot all year round. Yet, Japanese people in Thailand drink hot green tea. They like natto and tofu. Some are even putting tatami mats in their rooms, and some hang pictures of Mount Fuji at the entrance. It's hard to obtain tatami mats in Bangkok, but Japanese people get them. In Japan, no one hangs, a picture of Mount Fuji at the entrance of one's house, unless he or she is a big fan of Mount Fuji. But yet in Bangkok, many Japanese people hang a picture of Mount Fuji. I think that is what it means to live in a culture away from Japan. That is why a Japanese church is important in Bangkok. Even if they understand English or Thai, the church service in Japanese is important for Japanese people. It does not mean that other languages are not good. English or Thai is fine, but it just means that the gospel must be translated in the language of that person. The words we use in our daily life, the words we use when we think about something, that's the language that is important. So if it is not translated into their language, it will not become their gospel. So we can say that our faith needs translation. In this sense, the Japanese church in Bangkok has a Japanese identity and formed this church in Japanese. So the gospel in Japanese is desired for Japanese people in Thailand. However, I'm not trying to transplant an exact copy of a Japanese church in Bangkok. But Japanese Christians in Thailand need a unique church because they live in a different culture. The Japanese language church in Bangkok that I will serve does not have a Japanese denominational background. This is not a church that was started by missionaries from Japan. It was actually started by local Japanese Christians who wanted to worship in Japanese, even though there are Thai and English churches. At the beginning, two or three Christians gathered at their homes, sang hymns in Japanese, read the Bible in Japanese, and prayed together in Japanese. This developed into a Japanese language church. So, this Japanese church has no Japanese denominational affiliation. It is a church that gathers with the single important point of believing in the Lord Jesus. Last year marked the 60th anniversary of its establishment. Even if this church is conducted in Japanese, it must belong to a Thai denomination under Thai laws. Therefore, we need someone who understands at least some Thai language to take care of these organizational matters. So following my second ministry as a pastor in this church, I have been invited again to become the pastor, and I have accepted the invitation for the third time. In my first ministry, the first priority was the Thai language church, and the Japanese church was secondary. However, the second and the third time, the opposite is going to be true. The Japanese language church is the primary church for me, and the Thai language church is my secondary church. So, in any case, I've been using this two-pronged approach for more than 40 years. Work for a church does not depend on a person's ability. It is about the gospel that the person has, or rather the gospel that is woven into that person. If people need just the written word of the Bible or knowledge or education, there is no need for a human being to communicate for the gospel. What is needed is not a written doctrinal teaching, but the gospel as understood by a person who delivers it. We need a person that weaves the gospel into himself or herself. Verse 15 we read a few minutes ago says, "And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." This is a very famous passage in the Bible. This is actually a quotation from Isaiah chapter 52. It refers to those who declares deliverance from bondage. Interestingly, it says that their feet are beautiful. That's, you know, the Bible focuses on their feet that are beautiful. What about your feet? When I was 19 years old, I received a letter from my pastor. A very important letter. It said, "Yamaguchi-kun, why don't you go to seminary and become a pastor?" I had a problem, though, at that time. I knew the seminary students would come back to countryside during summer vacation and Christmas time and play an active role in local areas. And I wanted to be like them, but I could not go to seminary because of my family situation. And there was a radio program that I was listening to at the time, and I thought I want to serve on the PBA, Pacific Broadcasting Association, which is a Christian broadcasting program. But when I talked to my pastor, he said, even for broadcast evangelism, it would be better for me to study at a seminary. So I thought there was no way for me to do that. But the pastor wrote at the end of this letter, don't worry about the money. You have supporters. So all you have to worry about is your decision. Since he said that I did not need to worry about money. So I made the decision to study at a seminary. But the seminary was located in Tokyo. So I felt uneasy because I was a country boy. I wondered if there was anyone else who was interested in going to seminary. You know, somebody who would go with me. So I asked the pastor about one of the young men who was active in my youth group. Sensei, I asked the pastor, you say I should go to seminary and become a pastor. What about him in the youth group? The pastor thought for a moment and said, he? He's not good. He is very active, you know, in the church. But the pastor said, he's not good. Then I asked, why is he not good? The pastor replied, him... Well, he is too good-looking. But I never thought that the sharing the gospel had anything to do with facial appearance. But he with good appearance is not good, but I am okay. What does that mean? The pastor said, it is not a person's appearance, but the person's attractiveness based on Christ that captures a person. I see. That is what you mean. That's what I said. The Bible teaches us that it is not the, you know, our facial appearance, but the feet. Not the length of the feet, but the beauty of the feet. The beauty of the feet, that is important according to the Bible. It is the mouth that speaks the gospel. So why not say that the mouth of a person who preaches the good news is beautiful? Why the Bible says the feet are beautiful? The feet the Bible speaks of are the feet that have walked through a person's life. They have been through many peaks and valleys. Therefore, feet symbolically represents the person completely. So we need a person who is woven into the fabric of the gospel. We need a person who has been made by the gospel. So the feet are important. The feet that have experienced many things in life. That type of person, that type of Christian is necessary for missionary work. So I'm going to Thailand for the third time for a ministry, but I will be 74 years old this year. I never thought I would be 74, but it is real. Am I going to be okay? How long do you think I will last? Some even say, are you out of your mind? There was an earthquake, you know, a few days ago. Are you serious? Are you going to go there? But I want to have beautiful feet that shine for years and years. I want to use my feet. Even if it's a short period of time, it'll be okay for me as an older man to go there as a missionary. And, you know, Everyone can surf. Everyone can have beautiful feet. This is not the end. Even for a short time, at the end of your life, you can serve people. And in that way, you can have beautiful feet. So I will use this two-pronged approach, a Japanese language, serving Japanese language church and serving a Thai language church. And all Japanese churches, in a sense, are involved in both domestic evangelism and world missions. I believe that each one of us and each church should have two-pronged approach and should have shining feet. Let me read verse 15 one more time. How can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news, are able to live.